And this is the Taylor Report. Another matter that is coming up, it will be the Olympic Games. And of course, we say all this with our fingers crossed. We're living in a time with new words. We have a pandemic. We have the virus, coronavirus. Sometimes it has a number, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it becomes Omicron. And sports have been impacted, but the Olympics are coming. Canada should shine at those Olympics. And by the way, as far as I know, Phil, they're going. And a matter of fact, I'm reading interesting stories. You're probably following too, but the NHL capitalist bosses, they're not so sure they want their guys going. And so in this free world that we live in, it turns out that the NHL bosses can probably make the decision, which could block our greatest hockey players from going. And they could, you know, they could think up of an excuse to prevent it. Meanwhile, the players, we're told, really want to go. They want to be there because, after all, those guys are among the greatest hockey players modern era, and this is their chance to be in front of the world, not North America, in front of the entire world. And I like the fact that we can see that the athletes want to be part of a larger athletic world. They want to go to other countries. They want to carry the Canadian flag and to not be in this bubble created by Pentagon, NATO, White House, and the royal family in England. But, you know, get out and be seen and be recognized by other countries. The only vehicle, or certainly the best vehicle, is the International Olympic Committee. And here we have a lot of people who dine out on smearing both the concept of the Olympics, but also the people who generally are in charge. I'd say fair enough. You can say critical things, you probably should. But at the end of the day, you want to celebrate the fact that it comes off, that it gets done. And people going all the way back, let's say Jesse Owens, people argue, well, you know, the Berlin Olympics, that was very interesting. Suppose they hadn't gone, what would have happened to Jesse Owens? Jesse Owens showed everybody that the Aryans weren't superior, far from it, because he set records in the long jump, the 100 meters, I think the 200, and on a relay team. And the glory of that Olympics was the name Jesse Owens, the Black American who, when he returned to America, returned to a segregated America. But he had really registered a blow. And in sports, we often see this. Joe Louis, white Americans, and well, all Black Americans too, like to say, you know, Joe Louis knocked out Max Schmeling. Max Schmeling was a friend of Hitler's, at least. He permitted, you know, Hitler put his arm around him, but it was a big deal that a Black American, allegedly one of the lower species, according to the Superman theories of the Nazi leadership, Joe Louis had knocked out Schmeling. And more importantly to Black Americans, he had also knocked out Primo Carnera. Do you know the name Primo Carnera, Phil?
I certainly do. I learned my boxing history from my father, who was a big fan, and I had a nice
of him.
I had a nice picture book. No, a big fan of the sport. I had a nice picture book of boxing, and Carnera, lacking his teeth, big tall guy lying flat on the canvas when Joe Louis finished with him, and of course, Black Americans had
an interest in
knocking out a guy who was a friend of Mussolini's, because Mussolini at that time was occupying an African country.
Invading Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And they were in the name of white advanced Europeans, they were going to take over, which they did not succeed. Ethiopia was never conquered entirely. It's true the Italians got there and held on to some places, but they eventually lost. But the key thing here about this shows the power of sports. And Arthur Ashe, a wonderful figure, a great tennis player who died. He's a story all unto himself as a Black American leader. But he always said, look, you have to understand, knocking out Primo Carnera, the Italian giant, he was a big guy. He was about 6'5", and he was way ahead of his time in terms of being a, you know, the big guys sometimes have trouble fighting because they can't move their feet. I hope I'm not insulting any really big guys, but that just happened to be the story of boxing. But Joe Louis, when he did that, they said that all the Black areas of America, people ran into the streets because it was a defeat for Italian fascism. Anyway, taking me all the way back to say, the Olympics is great for what it offers. And I said before on this show, we have the greatest athlete, in my opinion, in the world, Mr. Warner, the decathlon champion, because decathlon is the event where you have to be able to perform at world-class level in every single event of the 10, from shot put to discus to javelin to the 1500 meters, 100 meters, the hurdle. I mean, the man is a phenomenon, and he's a world phenomenon. And if we play this little backyard game of American sports and American diktat, we're supposed to keep someone of that caliber off the world stage, where, by the way, the world has agreed to go and participate. They don't claim that they know everything about the internal affairs of China. It's only American prosecutors, Canadian prosecutors, and by that I mean politicians who prosecute, try to bring criminal charges against the government for strictly economic reasons to do with extension of great power, imperialist power in the world. That would be the Americans want people, because they drew up a case in their own back rooms against another government, and all the other countries of the world. And I think, Phil, you probably saw the vote like I did at the United Nations. I think 170 countries voted for a special period of peace and cooperation in the world so that the Olympics could go forward. That's where Canada belongs. They belong in that group, not just dragging their feet and saying, oh, you know, we don't really want to be here. No, no, they should be there with the other nations of the world, because what is going on is that the Anglo-American powers, Five Eyes, are isolating themselves, not in a good way, in a way indicating they're thinking of trying to find a way to reconquer the world in their own image. And therefore they started this dirty campaign to undermine the Olympics. Look at how ugly that is. They'd be willing to destroy a great international sporting and peace event where people, countries show mutual respect for each other and applaud victors, no matter who they are. They want to destroy that so that they can say, oh, well, we have our values, you know, are better than the values of Beijing, which is utter malarkey, just complete malarkey. So that's what Taylor Report is calling for. Let's go to the Olympics, but go in the spirit of cooperating with other countries, respecting them, and enjoying their company and being seen, just as I say with Mr. Warner, of our decathlete. That should be a matter of great pride to us. And what people should say is, we want to do that at the Winter Olympics. They'll see Canadians and what they can do, and they don't have to hang out with people from New York and Washington, D.C., et cetera. And I'm really glad, by the way, the American diplomats are so undiplomatic that they're going to lead this little parade of the Five Eye Parade, I think we could call it. They're going to lead this little parade and be seen by the rest of the world as kind of asses, you know, just asinine behavior, big shot behavior. And they're taking their little bat and going home. You know that expression, Phil? The kid who takes his bat and goes home.
Yes, I know that expression. And yes,
when they don't get it, called him out at first. Right. And so now he's mad. Yeah. By the way, I can remember being that little boy and I felt terribly ashamed when I got home. You're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn. You say, hey, that wasn't so much. And no, that's no fun. I'm not at the ball game. And so then the next time you say, right, okay, I don't think I was out, but I'll go back in the left field and we'll go ahead. So anyway, this is the Taylor Report. Incidentally, another thing I think we want to say is that the letters US stand for Uncle Sanctions, and we should be in Canada opposed to Uncle Sanctions. All these things, when Biden wants to say something or get the world's attention, he says, today I am sanctioning, so-and-so, I am sanctioning. None of these sanctions have any status legally in the world at all. When he says, well, I'm going to take steps and we're going to make sure that the Iranians can't get penicillin, or I'm going to take steps to make sure that Cubans can't get items they need, I'm doing that because I'm teaching them about how to get democracy, what democracy is. There has to be a turnaround on the game of sanction playing led by the U.S., and Canada's got to stop applauding. Our politicians, wall to wall, develop sanction fever. They just love it. Oh, he's been sanctioned. You know, we're hiding behind the leg of the greatest empire of the day with 800 bases around the world. Canada hides behind its leg and says, oh, sanction him, sanction that other guy. And I guess you notice, Phil, that the fight for democracy is continuing, and we're very much in favor of it. And Chile, they have elected a new government, a progressive government led by a former student leader who's going to get rid of the old constitution written by Henry Kissinger and friends. Kissinger, I'm glad he lived to see this moment.
Because that's true. That's a wonderful, when these old guys hang around too long, they see everything they created unravel. And
little empire is landing on his head.
And this was his proudest achievement, that he took a civilized country with progressive leadership and he turned it into a living hell. He was so proud of himself, and his boss Nixon was proud.
That was the march of the future, right? This was the march toward capitalism. You can't have people called socialists being elected. And then you had the Chicago boys. Last week we spoke to Alejandro Alex Morales, quite an authority, of course, on Chile. And he pointed that out. Milton Friedman, he saw Chile like a guinea pig to be experimented on. Cut it to pieces and see what would happen. And they laughed over it. And I can remember, Phil, I don't know if you remember the name of it. It was a film, Jack Lemmon started a movie.
Missing, it's called.
Missing.
Yes, it's
very accurately showed what happened.
Right, yes, and it's a really great film. You know, one of the things, and as a music person, I like to mention is that there was a very, very popular, beloved folk singer in Chile during the Allende years. And he played the guitar and he sang his own songs and people adored him. And the military went looking for him on day one. And Victor Lara was his name. Thanks for prompting me here. And they went.
More than one scholar in that house.
And they did murder him, but they wanted to make it a point because he played the guitar and they wanted everyone to see that they chopped off his hands before they killed him, because it said, now, okay, play your guitar now, wise guy, right? And then of course they murdered him,
and that movie showed that the Americans connived in that, because the Jack Lemmon character went to Chile to find out what had happened to his son, and it was his own embassy that lied through their teeth. He said, oh, we don't know where he is. We're doing our best.
By the way, that movie was a work of fiction, but it was based on an actual experience of an American parent who lost his son that way. And of course, they made it in Hollywood. They used American actors. So of course, they made the tragedy that this happened to an American. But they had to show that it was the Americans doing it to the Chileans, and they'd even do it to any American who had the audacity to ask questions you shouldn't have been there, son. You should have been back at home, you know, eating apple pie. And so he paid for it with his life.
Take your hat off to Jack Lemmon. That was a courageous part. And it did tell the story of what happened there. And of course, that was Kissinger, that was Nixon. But you always want to remember it was what they called the Chicago Boys and Milton Friedman. Because they said it is no free lunch. It's capitalism in every department of life, which meant death for anybody who got in the way of them. And they thought, and they were so smug, you know, as you know, I mean, if there's anything that's going to mark that guy Kissinger forever is how smug he was. He always thought he's the brightest guy in the room and everybody else is a fool. And they thought that he made the decision. I mean, we've seen they even have tapes now of him talking to Nixon about how to take care of this. Of course, he's also the man who bombed Cambodia and lied to the American people. The American people weren't even told that they were bombing Cambodia. To burn it down.
He's also the guy that when Lyndon Johnson and the Vietnamese were meeting in Paris to try to come up with a ceasefire to settle the Vietnam War, or what we call the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese call it the American War, and Nixon, who was not the president, but wanted to be the president, he and Kissinger went and interfered and were able to, through some dirty tricks, derail those peace talks. And, you know, that's illegal under U.S. law, but nobody ever charged Kissinger or Richard Nixon for what they did there.
We have to remind people, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have played games like that before. They're both capable of really nasty stuff. In order to put the, you know, as they say in soccer, wrong foot their opponent. And by the way, there were hints about, you know, arresting, or not, oh, I shouldn't say arresting, but charging both of them at the time. The fur was flying in America over those tricks. Later happened also with Iran, with Reagan, you remember?
Yes.
And when he was making sure that Carter didn't get an agreement, and he was playing a role in that. But anyway, people need to know these things. I have a semi off color comment. I think this is FM radio, I can tell you this. I knew a professor at York University, name won't come to me, but if it does, I'll tell you. And I was helping him move. And he said, so we were talking about American foreign policy on which he was an authority. And he was one of those World War II guys, GI Bill guys, along with Kissinger and others who got into college through the GI Bill. So he mentioned that he knew Kissinger in college. And I said, wow, well, so what inevitable question, what was he like? And he said, well, you know, a lot of us knew him and we were all pals together. And he said, so once in a while, about every 5 years, we get together at Harvard and whatnot. He said, usually we ask each other, how did that guy turn into what he is? I mean, how would he get to be Secretary of State? And he said, after years of cogitation, someone found the answer. And the answer was, shit floats.
Well, yes. I remember that story.
I think, anyway, I tell you that in this is part of the Christmas spirit and to raise everybody's morale. Again, it is the
scientifically accurate, folks. I mean, it would the professor's observation is based in science.
Based on science, said by a real professor, and I will bring the evidence. Now, lastly, again, the democracies are winning out, including Ethiopia, which didn't get invited to the democracy conference. They elected a democratically elected president. A small group is trying to overthrow it. And the United States is supporting the small group against the democracy of Ethiopia. So, but throughout South America and now Ethiopia, democracy is winning and Joe is losing. So we consider that good news. This is Taylor Report. See you next week.